Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
To tell us more, we joined by the CEO of Consumer Banking at African Bank in studio to give us a highlight of the company's numbers, Usibongiseni Ngunze, who joins us now for more. Such a pleasure to see you, sir.
Good evening, and good evening to your listeners too.
It's exciting to have you with us in studio, so thank you so much for joining us on what really seems to have been a phenomenal run for African Bank when it comes to the group's results. Maybe let's start with the top line numbers, certainly reflecting on the growth within the customer segment as well. 5.4 million customers, that's a formidable number to share.
Yeah, indeed. We've really been on an exciting journey. As African Bank, you would recall when we did a strategy reset about 3 years ago, we actually called it Accelerate 25. And we are at that point where we now are taking stock on the journey that was started about 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm. And as we do take stock, maybe let's just focus on your segment in particular when it comes to the consumer banking performance. Help us unpack just in terms of the growth, not only in the customer segment, but also just the health of your book from that perspective.
Yeah, if you really look at the broader African Bank results, we obviously came out with results that are largely flat year on year. Mm-hmm. But if you contrast those against where we were at halfway in 6 months, you'd see that actually the second half was quite strong, resilient performance, largely driven by great growth in the second half. If I unpack some of the key drivers in terms of our numbers, broadly within the consumer or personal banking side of the business, we tapered down our growth in asset generation. So growth within personal banking, assets growing at 4%, but really the star of the show from an assets point of view was business banking growing at about 15% year on year. And that really is a testament to what we had told the market was our strategic pivot. Very managed and selective growth in unsecured, starting to pivot ourselves into more secured lending. Mm-hmm. And that's really part of how we're looking to diversify our balance sheet from an asset point of view. Mm-hmm. If you go underneath some of those numbers and then you start looking at the growth in the transactional franchise, we are pleased that we're reporting numbers that are above 5 million customers, in fact 5.4 to be precise, and that's really been a compounded 25% plus growth year on year. And these are of course numbers on the platform, which is our alliance partners together with bank customers. But if you apply the same lens within personal banking, you start to see that personal banking has been growing their client base at about 25%. But if you look through the lens of transactional volume year on year is up by about 68%.
Oh, that's a huge number. Is this, I guess, anchored by the MyWorld accounts? Give us some perspective as to what is driving some of those volumes there.
Yeah, of course. I mean, we do a couple of things. One is is to drive acquisition. But having built some of our core assets and capabilities, to name one, our loyalty and rewards program, we've seen the stimulation of main bank activity, transacting activity. In fact, our loyalty and rewards program won an award, which was held in Dubai. So we're very proud that we're getting those accolades from the market. But our customers are a real testament to what we are doing. So we're starting to see more usage of the MyWorld product. We're starting to see more usage through our digital platform and capabilities. And if you unpack the results, that's translating into about 14% growth in non-interest revenue across both the businesses, which is business banking and personal banking.
Definitely. That has been bolted on, as you've mentioned, by key partnerships that you also have with the likes of MTN and many others within the mobile space. But what I'm also intrigued to understand, especially given your segment, you literally have insight into our back pockets, what's happening in our accounts, but more so our financial behaviors. And I'm really intrigued to see what that has meant when it comes to credit and credit impairments. What has the trend been, and how does the shift, given that the outlook now is largely focused on interest rates continuing their cutting cycle from a central bank point of view?
Yeah, if I think about this time around last year when we reported our results, we signaled to the market that we're starting to see lots of strain in terms of consumer.
Mm-hmm.
If you recall, we've generally seen elevated inflationary pressures on food, transport, energy, and fuel. And of course, what that does is that it narrows really discretionary spend from a consumer point of view. So the interest rates naturally are a welcomed relief in that they put money back into the consumers' pockets, particularly those who are borrowed. But we did one more than really just rely on unsecured. We started opening up new lending lines, which were purpose lending,
mm-hmm.
so backing people who are looking to build their own homes,
mm-hmm.
Also backing people who are trying to fit in their own homes either solar solutions,
yes.
energy solutions. And that's really been the path we've been pursuing, following the customers, enabling them, and partnering with like-minded players in executing that.
Mm-hmm. Now that we, you know, have come through the elections in South Africa, we've come through witnessing that inflation is easing, central banks have made a move in terms of interest rates. What does this mean for the outlook for 2025? I guess that's the exciting part that we're keen on. The results are a past explanation of where we've been, but what are we expectant of as you continue your strategy into 2025?
Yeah, I mean, generally, as you know, whilst we hold a view in terms of politics, but we generally don't comment on who wins
sure.
or who doesn't. But the one thing that we believe has really been a saving grace in our political landscape is really the formation of the GNU. Because in the absence of clarity on policy and stability on the political front, it's really hard to see the economics also reshape. So we've seen great strides coming out of the GNU, consistent policy application, clarity on particularly the sectors that need to be resolved. The job creation frameworks remain the same. So we believe really if we get on top of most of the things that we've always called out as needing urgent attention, we'll continue to see economic growth. In fact, recent forecasts are revising GDP growth as upwards in the next 24 months. And that really means, therefore, we would be playing in an economy that's in an upward trajectory. And that's good news for us.
Definitely. Good news for you. Good news for your segment as well. And I'm hoping that you'll talk your book up. You do comment on potential new product launches directly for consumers. Home loans is a big one that you've been vetting and testing internally for your staff. What's that been like in terms of the uptake? And how does it speak to the future prospects of increased and enhanced product offerings for African bank customers going forward?
Yeah, you would know this, Gugu, that we keep reminding people of our core reason for existence, which was really to set ourselves up to be relevant to the South African majority and largely people who haven't found meaningful participation. So when we look into building housing solutions, actually it's not quite the home loan for us because we need to think about different ways about people who want to build in non-titled land, people who want to acquire titled land, and people who want to better their own being for themselves and their families. So we started the last 6 months really starting to build and shape that capability, ran a pilot, an internal pilot with our own internal staff, and that book has built up to about 100 million now. And if you really keep watching this space, by end of the first quarter, we're looking
news.
To go out to market and really offer our clients a more enhanced offering from a solution, particularly solving for home ownership in South Africa.
Definitely. First quarter, we'll hold you to it. We are booking that interview request right now to make sure that we do see you by the end of the first quarter. As you say, it is certainly a bank for the people and by the people, and making sure that you address customer needs going forward. To close off with, there might be an African bank customer who's listening right now. I'm encouraged that as we look at your 5.4 million customers, you obviously have a target to get more customers on board and to making use of more of your products that exist under the African Bank stable. What's your word of encouragement, not only to potential shareholders in 2027, but customers that exist right now and new members you could bring on board?
Yeah, I mean, I think really the first one is to thank those customers that have given us a vote of confidence. We have seen more customers join us year on year. And what's pleasing is that there's even more youthful customers who are now preferring our bank, African Bank, as their key anchor bank. And so that really gives us a lot of pride and confidence. So to those of you who haven't found a reason to join us, give us a try. And I promise you, we will not disappoint.
Fantastic. Such a pleasure speaking to you, sir. We wish you all the best, Sibongiseni, and looking forward to seeing more growth and development. And the journey continues to listing in 2027.
Thank you.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. That's my guest this evening, Sibongiseni Ngunze, who is the CEO of the Consumer Banking Division at African Bank, helping us unpack their numbers, but with a more specific view on what we are seeing from a consumer banking point of view. So clearly, you and I are doing better in terms of our credit health, looking for new innovative product solutions, and 5.4 million South Africans on the active customer base of African Bank.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.